This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Episode 35. Start. Go. That's how we're going to begin.
All right.
I'm always very glad that we don't record the first 30 seconds before we hit record. because you and I have no idea what we're doing to begin with.
No clue.
And it is never more evident than in those 30 seconds where we're just making noise and saying things that we think might help us. Or just going, well, that's a peek behind the curtain. That's a little behind the scenes to start episode 35. Now you know.
What are we going to talk about?
This is a great question and one that I should have the answer to. and my answer will be, I will defer to you to answer this question.
I think there's a couple things that have come up recently that we've been talking to that might be helpful. So we'll share them. People can tell us if it's helpful or not. The first thing that comes up almost every single time we talk about this subject is just the baseline of like, what is hop? How do you explain it? And then there's like a larger piece of a puzzle that I think is maybe not discussed as often or as much as should be discussed, that we should bring up in terms of kind of what the end goal, if you could have an end goal of what hop is, the end goal of what you're trying to get to. So I don't know. That's what we're going to try.
What ominous foreshadowing. I think I like the first part though.
Yeah.
Because I would say that I'm very fortunate to have a very supportive group of people in my life that I have. I love my friends, my family. I can tell you confidently that outside of you and your husband, I don't think anyone could say what I do or what topic that we cover.
Yeah.
Consistently.
No. And the way that I describe what hop is changes by the audience.
It like, changes by what the last question that I got was. This is just how I do it. I have to like put it in perspective of whoever's asking.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it's a bit complicated.
It is. And we've stated, I think probably many times before on the podcast, that it's a combination of three big subjects, right? It's a combination of organizational psychology and some individual psychology, as well as systems thinking, systems design, and complexity science. But there's a bunch of other ways that you can sort of slice up what hop is. And one of the other ways that we describe it is it's about thinking differently in order to enable us to learn differently and design differently iteratively, right? So if you're picturing a flow chart, picture thinking differently with an arrow to a cycle of learning differently and designing differently.
If you're like me,
yes,
the first cycle you think of is the reduce, reuse, recycle cycle. It's that, but instead of being three helpful things, it's two things.
Yeah. And
also, please recycle. Go ahead, keep going.
Public service announcement. And I think that, at least myself personally, a lot of the time that we spend when we talk to people about this subject is in the thinking differently space, because we're trying to enable people to then do the learning and designing differently. And then we also spend quite a bit of time talking about learning differently, right? Operational learning. And the entire intent of why we're doing all of this is actually to design differently, right? There's a lot of really positive intended and unintended consequences of doing all of this differently, of thinking differently and learning differently. But the end goal of what we're trying to do is physically change how work is being done in order to allow for a resilient design, a design that you can have real life variability thrown at it and it doesn't fall apart, right? It's not brittle. And a lot of the time we don't really even get to spend much discussion time in that space, because it's hard to get to the designing differently until you've shed some of the biases that we have about what we're trying to achieve with design.
Let me
Yes.
Say that differently.
Yeah, please.
Please. It's I would equate it to just the world that we live in. That'd be like if we were teaching like a 500 level course in HOP in a university, because it takes some fundamental and foundational changes in our thought process. It takes changes in how we learn to get to a place where we can design differently. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think there's some prerequisite understanding. I don't know that I'm smart enough to teach a 500 level anything, but there's absolutely some prerequisite understanding that we need, or a different way of thinking that we would need to be able to get ourselves in that frame of mind before the design piece of it made any sense.
I wanted to make a joke.
When is that not the case?
What I wanted to do, and I couldn't think of a kind enough joke to record. So that's the joke.
Yeah, it sounds right. So I think it would be helpful for us to talk a bit to those different pieces, the think differently, to learn differently, to design differently. And then, depending upon how much time we have left, right, actually talking to a bit of the designing differently thought process, because it comes up kind of tangentially in conversation a lot. But we just had some really good questions about it today in one of the sessions we were in that might be helpful to talk to. So,
and so if you've listened to our podcast up until now, thank you.
Also why, but
do something fun. But we spent the last couple episodes talking about how you, particularly Andy, did air quotes hop.
Yes.
When you were working. This is more
when
about,
I was working, because I don't work anymore.
No.
Let's not call this work.
And now, so what we're saying for today is more of, this is how we would describe hop if someone asked us to describe it.
Yeah. Or a way that it might be helpful to wrap whoever's listening to this, your mind around what the concepts are. Because I found trying to recategorize and categorize the concepts of hop a couple different ways has brought clarity to my thought process. So maybe it'll bring some amount of clarity to other people's thought process. So, when we talk about thinking differently, you're gonna have to help me with all these shifts in Matt, cause I'm not sure I can articulate all of them. We're thinking about shifting our thought process in a couple different places. And some of the main shifts in thought are moving from thinking about the world around us from an ordered system, right? So thinking it's mechanical, cause and effect is always known, A is always going to cause B. Moving from an ordered system to understanding that we work in a complex adaptive system, right? So recognizing that a complex adaptive system, A doesn't always cause B, right? A can be part of a puzzle that the outcome is A, B, C, D, F, G, Q, L, M, N, O, P, like a lot of different things, because of the amount of variability within the system that we're in, and the fact that you also have agents, free agents that change things in the system as it's happening. So,
just to break it down, order system, like the game Chutes and Ladders. You roll dice and you just move the piece. Complex adaptive system, it is a family game of Monopoly that you know is going to end with someone crying and turning over the Monopoly board. There are so many rules. No one even knows all of them all the time.
Everyone's making up new ones. Yep. Yeah. That's a pretty good analogy, actually. I'll give you like 6 points for that.
Thank you. I'm just getting out of my debt. One day I'll be able to get out of here.
Yeah. So that's one of the shifts, right? And there's a lot of details around that. And there's a lot of ramifications around like what it means to think about the world outside of believing it's an ordered system, right? But that's one of the shifts. Another shift is from sort of seeing roles and organizations from this parent child Tayloristic type thought process to recognizing the value of an adult relationship, and recognizing where that's happening,
which is making that shift. Known as transactional analysis.
Yes. There's another shift in accountability, right? Thinking about accountability, historically, most of us have equated that to disciplinary action, and thinking of it as a way to try to modify behavior through some sort of negative ramification or man-made consequence. Moving that thought process to seeing accountability as someone's willingness to take responsibility for their actions, And then having to redefine sort of where disciplinary action lives in an organization, like when do we actually use it? So that's a shift. A shift of being able to...
I don't think... I can see where we're going.
Yes.
And this episode being something that might be sent to someone to say what HOP is. Mm. I would just say we did an episode or several about accountability. Go listen to that one.
Right. If what we just said doesn't make any sense.
If you haven't heard this before, just stop what you're doing and listen to that episode now, because there's so much that goes into that discussion.
Yeah.
That is very complicated and nuanced that is necessary.
Yeah.
I just want to throw it out there.
And I think it's three episodes.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
They're gonna have to listen to more than one.
Sorry, keep going.
No, that's good. That's helpful. And then another shift is going from kind of seeing person problems and system problems, kind of having them all be muddled and mixed and not really being able to differentiate between them, to being able to differentiate, are we dealing with a person problem or a system problem? Those are the main ones that come to mind, like the primary controls, thinking about controls from moving from controlling, like I'm trying to over-prescribe behavior to it's a control that catches you when you fall or mm-hmm. provides you with new information or provides you with the ability to augment your ability as a human. Like you can smell something you normally wouldn't smell or see something you normally couldn't see or hear something you normally couldn't hear or have reaction time that would be faster than what a human could normally do. So shifting kind of how we see the role of controls. What am I missing? Anything else I'm missing in the thinking differently part?
I mean, we would have to add in all the layers of behavioral psychology.
Oh,
and organizational psychologies that we talk about, which are, again, in other episodes.
Yep.
But they are all a part of this larger shift in thought.
Yeah.
That if we challenge ourselves enough to fit them into how we see the world, then that is changing how we think about the world.
Yep.
And therefore leads to the next step.
Correct. So after we're challenging our thought process, it almost mandates, once our thought process has been challenged, it mandates that we learn differently because we become interested in different things. And what we mean by learn differently is that we'd want to recognize that because we're in this complex adaptive system, there really isn't going to be something that feels like a perfect stagnant design. Meaning in any process, there isn't a fixed ideal state that isn't going to change. So I'm never going to have a perfect process with a perfect procedure and people following it perfectly. Because in real life, in real work, the only constant is change, and things are going to be changing. People's understanding of the process changes, normalization of risk changes, the physical, the equipment itself degrades over time, the things that are available to us to do work change, the relationships between people change. There's just a lot of movement happening. And when we recognize that that's true, then our thought process shifts from kind of trying to come up with what is this perfect design that nothing is ever going to go wrong in to how quickly can I learn about what is happening and how quickly can we then change things to make them better? And how quickly can we do that continuously?
So we shift from using a lot of our effort and energy to get people to comply to these systems that we believe are perfectly designed or close to perfectly designed.
Yeah. Or like heading in the perfect design direction.
And we change that energy to realize that we could spend that same time learning about what is going on in that system and iterating.
Yes. And obviously anyone who has been, you know, mired in continuous improvement thought process for a long time, mired's probably the wrong word, but like embracing that thought process, like this would not be new information at all, right? It's continuous improvement, but it's at a pace that is different in my head than how I pictured continuous improvement before. So historically, I guess because I pictured all of the processes around me as stable, I kind of believed that I could improve, like learn and improve on my schedule. Meaning I'm picturing a stable process running. And then when I have time or we have time in an organization, I can learn about it. We can make some improvements. Now we have a step change. And now we have another process that's steady state that's running that's better than the one before. And then the more we're actually out learning, like from real life, real work, what we recognize is that it's really to understand what this type of continuous improvement is, it's really not at the leisure of the planner or the designer to be doing that, meaning it's changing now. It's not nearly as steady state as it feels. There's a bunch of stuff changing today. So our energy goes into how do we create as many open feedback loops as possible? One of which is, you know, people talk about learning teams all the time of like, how do we go and bring a group of people together and learn from the end user? So one of which is learning teams, but there's many other mechanisms to solicit meaningful feedback, not just have an open door policy in which, hey, yeah, come tell me if something's changed. Well, things are changing all the time, right? That's come tell me if you have a problem. Well, problems are occurring all the time. It's how do we engage with people, with each other, routinely, recognizing things are constantly changing and having open dialogue about what is changing, what we're seeing, what smells different, what feels different, what is the same as yesterday, what did we have to manage through today that we didn't see coming, what are we worried about tomorrow? And there's many different ways of layering in places for that conversation in an organization. It could be part of every piece of every management system for every part of the organization, if we deem it important. And I think that the thinking differently piece is what brings you to a place of, hey, it is worthwhile learning differently. I want to learn differently as often as possible. And I want to do that from the end user's perspective, so that it's not just a designer or a planner or a manager's perspective going into how something is being designed or changed. I want to learn from the end user as often as possible as to what they're seeing, what they're understanding in terms of how things are functioning, what works well, what doesn't work well, and pull in their expertise into understanding and defining what the problems are and figuring out some ways that we can make things better.
I'm going to see if I can summarize that. First of all, wow. what I heard was that you looked at the systems that you had and you said, we're green, we're not having any injuries and we're getting product out to the roughly the right circumstances or expectations so we can make step changes when we get to it.
Yeah. So if I was looking at like my metrics around either safety or quality, right? If it's if it's steady state and it's green, good. There's always room to improve. Always room to improve, but I could do it at my leisure.
And what we're saying is that to get those greens, we have no idea what it actually takes. But those end users that are doing the work do, and then we should create ways, multiple ways, to get the information of what it takes to get those greens as quickly and as often as possible.
Yeah.
And just to double down on that idea, it does not mean that we're saying you have to change everything you're doing. We're saying if you had a change in thought process, every time you went to go and do those behaviors like an audit or like a Gemba walk, the way you approach the conversations might be slightly different.
Correct. Yes. That was a pretty good summary in like a minute.
It wasn't even a minute. I could tell you, I could see the time. It wasn't.
So that's the learning differently piece. And then from there, when we're learning, there's a lot of different things that we will define as problems, right? And, some of them are kind of self-evident as to what a good solution would be because, right? Like somebody needs access to a specific tool and it's hard to get access to that tool. We brainstorm ways to get access to that tool. It's just the process itself of what the problem is and what we would need to do to improve it isn't hard. But there is an aspect of designing differently that is harder to, I think, at least articulate and harder to remember to be thinking about because, at least for me in my world, it is different from what we had historically done. And that is the recognition that because we are in this complex system, there will be variability and there will be variability in a lot of things that some of which we have an ability to predict generally that they will happen and others which are just not predictable. And if we're looking to create resilience, the design of whatever we're doing in and of itself has to be able to accommodate for that variability, meaning life is going to throw stuff at us. And if the way that we've designed something or how we're running a process requires such perfect conditions all the time, every time, and any variable in any of those conditions will drive catastrophic failure, that's when we want to be looking at whether or not we have a brittle system or not. There's a lot of places where that thought process is hard to wrap your head around what that means. Because honestly, we haven't been thinking about, well, general industry, really. There's individuals in the world that have been thinking about this for a long time.
Nope, but no one. Just us. You heard it first. Resilience. We made up that word.
Yes, it's a... there in industry, there aren't a lot of people that have been thinking to or talking to what's the difference between a brittle system, like one that's going to fall apart if you look at it the wrong way, versus a resilient system. And how does that interconnect with, you know, the fact that we are doing things in some industries in which you have to control the variables, like for example, a specific chemical reaction. You have to control the variables down to a point where there isn't much variability. How do you design your process and your system to be able to get that outcome, knowing that in the front end of whatever that process is, there is a ton of variability, right? What does that look like in terms of identifying where we do have very brittle systems and identifying how we would want to be designing differently to allow for real life, real people, real work to happen? And even though the inputs to something aren't perfectly controlled, that the output isn't one of catastrophic failure. And that's the space of resilience that is something that we should probably be giving some examples and talking through for folks to be able to kind of wrap their head around what it means to think in that direction.
I'm judging by your face that you're saying that's for another episode without saying it, or you're looking at me to make a decision. But as you said, we should do that. We have a third guest.
Oh, we do.
We do. His name is Flapjack Pancake. He's my 3-month-old puppy who, as you said, you alluded to me in another episode. He wagged his tail while he was sleeping. So I think that's a sign.
Flapjack is in charge.
Yeah. Which, that's about accurate for our show. A 3-month-old puppy would be in charge. So why don't we delay the resilient examples for next episode?
Sure.
And we'll continue on this. I have no idea what I'm going to call this episode. None. So when you see it, just know that at this moment, I have no idea what it's called. So don't judge me when you see it, whatever you think. And so we'll come back to this and we'll finish this thought about
learning. What does that design differently really look like? Yeah.
Think, learn to design, and what is design differently in building resilience versus looking at brittle systems and how those two work together.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Well, I hope you like the name of this episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, that's it.
Yep, another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.